written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, reading from verses 12 to 17. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the Word of God.
We had seen that Paul has beautifully explained the gospel to us in chapters 1, 2, and 3. In chapter 4, he has wonderfully explained how we have been drawn into a new family, where there are no more barriers, where we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Each one of us is gifted. Each one of us is important. Each one of us has a great contribution to make. What a lovely thought that is. He then went on to describe how we live at home. He then went to describe how we live at work. And then last Sunday he said, now there's one last thing you must remember. And that is this, that friends, you and I are in a war. And it's difficult. Our enemy, remember those characteristics, he is wicked, he is evil, and he is deceptive. And his only goal in this world is to take you and to take me away from Jesus. Now you must never forget that, dear friend. You are going to be tempted every day of your life. You are going to be tested. You are going to be up against it all the time because we're in war. It's not easy to be a Christian. And that's where this letter closes off. And then the apostle, having reminded us that the Christian conflict is not only real, but it's difficult and dangerous, he now comes and shows us how we can stand firm. What does the apostle say to you and me this morning? So that whatever comes our way, friend, whatever discouragement, whatever testing, whatever trial, whatever heartache, whatever comes into your life, you will be strong and you will cope. All right? So we move on to the armor. From the outline there, you can see that we're going to share with you this morning, if I may, the armor of God. And we're going to do it in two parts. And the first part is today. Now there are three parts of the armor that you and I must put on. Is that all right? And if you put this armor on, brothers and sisters, you are going to be a strong person. But I want to say to you with lots of love and grace, if you don't listen to this passage, you're in trouble. You are going to get hurt. You are going to fall. And it's not nice to hear that, but some of you may even wander away. That's how important this message is this morning. All right, so let's come and have a look at that then together. What does Paul say to us? All right, listen to verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So the first thing that you and I must make absolutely sure about as we wake up every day and go into the battle is that we have the belt of truth. Now let me say this to you, friends. When you live every day for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to have on your belt. It's the first part of the armor. Everything else hinges on this belt. So what is it? You can see there are two things that it is. The first thing that it teaches us is that our belt, of course, is the Bible. Is the Bible. This very precious book, this library that God has given to you and to me. This is the belt. It's got a front page. It's got a back page. Because there's nothing more Jesus wants to say to us. It's all here. It is the inspired. God has breathed it out. It's inerrant. It's without mistake. It's infallible. It's totally trustworthy. It is the belt. So when I see it like that, to have on the belt of truth then means simply that I allow the truth of God's word to be a living reality in my life. I live by it. I act upon it. I breathe it. I let it govern my conduct and all my attitudes day by day as second nature. And a man by the name of James Phillips said these words. Whenever a person is fired up by the truth of God, he is invincible. He stands like a colossus among pygmies because he is girt about with the truth of God's word. I can't put it better than that, my dear friend. The most important thing for me and for you is to know this book, to love this book, to breathe this book, to let it permeate our lives, all our thinking, and all our living. And that's not easy, because that means I need discipline and I need effort to make sure that every single day before I go to the office, before I go to school, before I do anything in life, I must read and know the Bible. The greatest illustration, of course, is Jesus. When Jesus was taken into the wilderness, he was tempted by Satan. You remember that, don't you? How did Jesus combat those temptations? Every time with the same thing, he quoted the Bible. When you are strong in the Bible, you are strong. When you are weak in the Bible, you are weak. Let me give you a little thought, if I may. One of my dreams, if I may share it with you, over the next few years, is to establish at least 80 home Bible studies in this church. 80. Our longing would be to see every person in a Bible study learning the Bible. That's one of our dreams. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Why is that? Because we want people to have on the belt of truth. If you haven't got the belt of truth, you're in big trouble. But it's not only that. It's not only that. John MacArthur says, secondly, it's having that attitude of total commitment or truthfulness. He said this, I believe that being girded with the truth primarily has to do with the self-discipline of total commitment. It is the committed Christian, just as it is the committed soldier and the committed athlete who is prepared. If ever you are content with mediocrity, with lethargy, with indifference, with half-heartedness, you are going to fail to be armored with the belt of God's truth. You are going to leave yourself exposed by the schemes of Satan.
It's a very challenging thought, isn't it, friends? We can't be half-hearted in the Christian life. We can't just put Jesus as part of our lives. He is our life. The Christian is our lifestyle. There's no room for half-heartedness. There's no room for lethargy. There's no room for lukewarmness. We are going into battle totally, completely, and utterly committed to Christ. You haven't got that attitude. Let me tell you, my friend, Satan is going to get you. You're not going to have the belt. You're going to be like my friend Michael Uranovsky. We went on the route march. It was useless. Didn't have the belt. Oh, friend. Spend more time in your Bible. You don't get to a Bible study, get to one. Cancel whatever you've got. Get to it. Learn the Word. Don't be satisfied with any form of half-heartedness. It's all or nothing. Is that all right? Is that the belt? Now let's have a look at number 2. What do I now need to cover this part of my body? I'm in a war. To cover the heart, the lungs, from the illustration of the Roman soldier. Steve Irwin jumped onto crocodiles. He played with the most venomous snakes in the world. He dived with sharks, didn't he? One day, a stingray. Very few people die from these things. Stingray stung him in the heart. He's gone. You see, friends, you've got to be protected here. I'll tell you why. Satan may come to you. Maybe he's come recently to you. And he said this. Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Are you a Christian? But look how you act. Look how you spoke. Look what you did. You can't be a Christian, can you? You see, that's what he does. And his goal in doing that is to bring us into a position of discouragement, depression. So I've got to make very sure now that you cover my heart. I've got to have some strong armor. Because when he throws these arrows, I don't want to get down and depressed and discouraged. I don't want him to get into my heart. So what do I need? Second piece of armor is I need the breastplate of righteousness. So what is that, dear friends? 2 things again. The first thing is, the most wonderful thing in the world that I could ever tell you, and I'm sure that all your ministers have told you this over the years, is that when you become a Christian, when you were born again, when you trusted in the finished work of Jesus, can I explain to you one more time what happened? It wasn't just a case of the Lord Jesus saying, I forgive you your sin. Thank God he does. Wonderful to know that. Your past, your present, and your future sins are washed and cleansed. That is true, and we thank God for that. But that's not all. What he did was he imputed, he charged, he gave you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. So that before a holy God, you and I, although we have sinned and wandered away from the Lord, we are now declared to be righteous before God, not because of what we've done, but because we are imputed with His righteousness. That is a precious thing. So that now in Christ's righteousness, Satan can't get through there. We had a funeral here yesterday, and the first hymn that we sang was such a great hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Listen to Spurgeon. You all love Spurgeon. He said, are those who stand before the throne of God justified now? So are we, as truly and as clearly justified as those who walk in white and sing praises to celestial harps. There is no speck or spot or wrinkle or any such thing that remains upon any one believer in the matter of justification. But imputed righteousness, secondly, leads to a holy life. That's what happens. It leads into a holy life. So that by that, when you became a Christian, speaking to one of our members just on Friday, it was so lovely to hear her say this. She says, I want to tell you, Warwick, I've got a brand new husband. I said, isn't that wonderful? He's recently become a Christian. He's a different man. Things have changed. Because imputed righteousness automatically leads to holiness. The old goes, and everything becomes new. And William Hendrickson put it like this, apart from such a life, the would-be Christian will have no defense against Satan's accusations. You will have no assurance of salvation. You will lack the power to attack. The testimony of your lips will be ineffective. Your neighbors will never be won for Christ, and the evil one will not be vanquished. On the other hand, when righteousness in conduct is present, what a mighty weapon for defense and offense it becomes. And that is true. You go to the office tomorrow, you're back to school, you're there in the home, people see you and they say, what's happened? Become a Christian. Your life is marked with holiness. Satan is going to tempt you. Satan is going to try and knock you. I want to tell you today, dear friend, you've got the belt of truth tightly wrapped around your waist. You know your Bible. You love your word. You're able to quote the word and defend the word. And you're going into the battle with no half-heartedness. He won't touch you. If you can back that up with a holy life, a godly lifestyle, because you have been imputed with Christ's righteousness. As William Hendrickson said to us, won't touch you. You haven't. You're in trouble. Oh, I ask you today, put on your belt. Put on the breastplate. Our time has gone by. We'll pick the rest up later. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you never throw us into the battle without giving us what we need. Thank you for your precious word. And we pray that as a church, as individuals, your Bible will become more and more precious to us. We will love it and learn it and memorize it and mark it and live it. And we pray that our lives would be marked with that holiness of lifestyle, so that the evil one will not be able to get into the heart and depress us. Give us a great longing today to put on the armor so that we will be strong. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.